no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Thank you for joining me once again. We'll begin our hour of radio drama this week with I Was a Communist for the FBI. We'll hear the March 30th, 1952 episode titled I Walk Alone. After that, it's Stars Over Hollywood in Fog Warning, their episode from January 12th, 1952.
Communist for the FBI. Starring Dana Andrews in an exciting tale of danger and espionage, I Was a Communist for the FBI. The story you are about to hear is based on the actual records and authentic experiences of Matt Savetic, who for 9 fantastic years lived as a communist for the FBI. Here is our star, Dana Andrews, as Matt Savetic.
9 years of it. 9 years of living behind a mask that made me an outcast among my own people. And from behind that mask, I saw these things happen. It's all in the record. The story and testimony of my 9 years as a communist for the FBI.
In a moment, listen to Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic. Here is Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic, undercover man. This story from his confidential file is marked, I Walk Alone.
Hello?
I'd like to speak to Mr. Lawrence, please. Mr. Lawrence, Dick Lawrence.
This is Dick Lawrence.
Oh, this is Chuck.
Chuck, how are you? Haven't heard from you.
Haven't been able to get near a phone booth.
Something doing?
Will you be in the office after midnight?
I could be.
I may have something after the meeting tonight.
Big?
Some guy imported from Moscow or Bucharest is going to address our cell. He's supposed to have gotten his boot training practically with Uncle Joe himself. I'll call you right after the meeting breaks up and... Well, honey, I don't know when it'll break up. These shindigs last.
Huh?
Probably too late to do much anyway. Well, how about dinner Monday night and a show or dancing or something?
I get it. So long.
Monday? Monday night okay? Okay, honey. It's a date. Bye.
Going someplace, Matty?
Oh. Hiya, Simon.
I was having a sandwich at the soda fountain. Saw you go into the phone booth.
Yeah, just calling a girl.
Yeah, I came over to ask you to join me for a bite, and I couldn't help catching the end of it.
Go back and finish your sandwich.
What's the matter, comrade? You saw her?
You knew I was talking to my girl, and you stood there and tuned in. I have a private life, you know, Simon.
Private life? After all these years in the party? Come on. I'll walk with you to the meeting, comrade. Go together.
I walk shoulder to shoulder with Comrade Simon Horvath, thinking, yeah, we go together, but we walk alone. All these comrades, but never a friend among them. We go to a piano studio on Pine Street. We're the last to arrive. Besides the 5 members of our cell, there's a big man pacing the room. He looks at me and Comrade Horvath as though inspecting us for plague. He looked like real trouble to any decent, hard-working undercover man. Comrade Helen Worth makes the introductions, and the big man's name strikes some kind of chord with me.
Comrade Rybchenko, Comrade Horvath and Savetic.
Comrade Simon Rybchenko.
Comrade Rybchenko.
Oh, weren't you assigned to the Cleveland problem?
Was I?
Plugging secret information leaks.
Plugging them poorly, it would seem. Sit down, though. I have here three copies of a most important letter. Comrade Savitic.
Yes, comrade?
Secretary of the American Slav Congress.
That's right.
Take this copy of the letter. Commit its contents to memory. When you've done so, return the letter to me.
Yes, I understand.
Here. Do not read it while I'm speaking.
Sorry.
Copy for Comrade Helen Wirth.
Thank you.
Comrade Wilson. Now, briefly first. Yes, Comrade Savitic, I was assigned to the Cleveland problem.
I'm sorry if I've been out of order, Comrade.
There have been serious information leaks to the FBI.
Only in Cleveland?
Everywhere. However, my visit is not relative to that matter, at least not exclusively. Those letters contain the names and assignments of several highly trained comrades assigned to vital industries in this area. Memorize the names and everything about them to the last detail. You will be their contacts. Clear?
Does that mean that we'll receive secret instructions to be channeled to these people?
Memorize the names and everything about them to the last detail.
I know, you said that, comrade, but
I said that. And I said you will be their contacts. And that is all I said. Clear, Comrade Savitic?
Clear.
Learn your men first. When we are prepared to issue orders for them, you'll receive those orders to pass on to them.
Well, that's all I asked. That's all I wanted to know. That answers the questions. Why all the excitement? Well, I mean, couldn't he just have told me?
Comrade Savitic.
I'm sorry.
Comrade Savitic, how long have you been with us?
Oh, I can vouch for Comrade Rivchenko. He joined us back...
Comrade Savitic will answer.
I joined the party in 1942.
Did you join with any questions in your mind then?
No.
Any reservations?
No.
Doubts?
No.
Lack of belief in your leaders?
No.
Then why not keep that healthy state of acceptance? That will be all. Be available for sudden meetings. Go.
Mr. Dick Lawrence, please.
Lawrence speaking.
Chuck.
Go ahead.
I can't talk to you over the telephone.
You want to meet me someplace?
No. I've got to be on call. I'm mailing you a letter along with my report.
What letter?
I can't talk. It'll knock you on your face, that's all.
Use the new mail drop.
Yeah, I know. Only look. Read the letter, copy it or photostat it or whatever you want to do and get it back to me quick.
About a couple of days.
As soon as you can. I've got to give it back in a hurry.
I heard you.
A gold mine of commie saboteurs. Nuggets of no good. Wait until you see this. They've got three of the boys in atom bomb installations.
Commies and atom jobs? Don't say any more. Put your report in that letter in the drop as soon as possible.
Any instructions?
Yeah. Your new telephone designation is R-U-D-Y, Rudy.
Got it.
Your new contact name here is Mr. Fisher.
Got it.
Keep in touch.
I'll try. Those guys suspect their own mothers.
So long.
I go back to my room at the hotel. I'm supposed to be living with my folks, but my folks don't want much part of the son who turned commie and disgraced the family. That's the way it is. I type out my report, sign my current code number, enclose Revchenko's letter and address it to the new drop, a little barbershop in the Golden Triangle where it'll be picked up by an FBI agent. I go out to mail it, then come back to my room and bone up a little on the Communist Manifesto to look sharp to Revchenko. And then I go to sleep. In the morning, I go out to breakfast.
Hey, Matty!
My heart jumps. Comrade Horvath. Has he seen me come out of the hotel?
Good morning, comrade.
Oh. Hello, Simon.
What were you doing in the State Hotel just now?
I'm peculiar. I eat. I was in the coffee shop.
Don't you eat breakfast at home?
Well, I don't hang around home very much, you know that. My folks don't like a communist in the family.
Time they get used to it.
An upset mother, when you know how it is.
No. How is it?
Well, after all, she's my mother.
A nice bourgeois sentiment.
And that's why I don't like the party to call me there. The family takes messages for him, but they sure don't like it.
They took one for you this morning.
What?
Didn't I tell you?
Oh, no, I left pretty early.
What time?
What time did you call?
I didn't.
You just said
Revchenko
that you...
Revchenko called.
What for?
He's calling back all the letters.
Well, he just issued them last night.
He figures overnight to study them is enough.
Oh, well, when does he want the letter?
He wants it 2 hours ago.
Well, I don't have it.
Huh?
Not on me, that is. I don't carry it around. It's home.
I'll go home with you.
Well, I better call home first.
All right. There's a drugstore. I'll go with you.
Now, why don't you go back and tell Revchenko I'll have a letter for him later today, this afternoon.
Let's see if they found it back home.
All right. I'll phone him.
I'll go with you.
Now to call the FBI and not let Comrade Horvath at my elbow know who I'm talking to and what I'm trying to say. I get change from the cashier. He's calling for time, trying to think of something. I dial, hoping that the comrade doesn't notice that the exchange I dial isn't in the Stanley Avenue area. Lawrence is my No, it's Fisher now. Fisher, worse luck. Lawrence could sound like my brother's first name, but Fisher... My hand is shaking.
Hello?
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 Fisher?
Who?
Oh, yes, I remember you. Aren't you the insurance man comes around once a month?
Rudy?
Yeah, that's right. Remember me? I said I didn't need insurance. I was going to live forever. Well, now I don't know.
What's up?
Is Mother there, Mr. Fisher?
Go ahead.
I had an important letter yesterday... Will you ask Mom if I left it on my desk or someplace around? I need it, urgently.
So soon? You said 2 days.
Will you ask her now?
We haven't got the letter anymore.
What?
We don't have the letter.
Why? Well, what's wrong?
You were right. It's big stuff. Stuff like that we have to send on to Washington and the original.
Oh?
A copy won't do. I'm sorry.
Well, when do you think Mom will feel better?
What? Oh. It won't be back until tomorrow, at least.
I see.
I know this is a curve, but you take it from here.
Well, I don't know if I can see you right away, Mr. Fisher. I'm with a friend, and Mom doesn't entirely approve of my political friends.
Save it. I knew you were being tagged right away.
Well, you'll stay with Mom until she feels a little better, won't you? I'd really appreciate it.
Sorry, Rudy.
Goodbye, Mr. Fisher.
Trouble?
Yeah. Mother isn't feeling so well. Maybe I better go see her.
What about Revchenko?
Explain it to him for me, will you?
Oh, no. Not me.
Oh, he'll understand.
Maybe you can make him understand, not me.
What's so special about this Revchenko?
Or Nikolaev?
Nikolaev?
Or Tomaszewski?
Wasn't there a Tomaszewski who
was
out? Yeah, what?
Who used to be with the NKVD, now the MVD, the Communist International Secret Police.
Revchenko.
Alias this, alias that, yeah. Only we call him Comrade Revchenko. He's going to want to talk to you, Comrade Savetti.
Back to Dana Andrews, starring in I Was a Communist for the FBI, and the second act of our story.
That is all, Comrade Savetic. That is your story.
Yes, Comrade Revchenko.
But no letter.
Well, I've explained that I learned my mother was ill, and I can't decide if it's wise to visit her under the circumstances.
The only wisdom is to produce the letter.
Well, it may take time. She's ill, and she resents me. My family
is at your mother's house, you say.
Yes, but I
get it.
Very well.
Comrade Horvath, go with him.
Hey, the first house past the lamppost, driver. 5102. Right here. That's right.
Well, the flag driver will be right out.
Now, look, Simon. You know how my family feels about my going with communists. Why don't I go in first and see how Mother feels and then sort of get her used to the idea of bringing another communist into the house, huh?
Well, make it short. This taxi is on you, don't forget.
Oh.
Hello, Mom.
Oh, come in, Marty. Who waits outside in the taxi?
He's a friend of mine, Mom.
Friend?
Mom, I've come to ask a very big favor of you.
Oh, you got some trouble, yeah?
Pretty big trouble, yeah.
What favor?
You won't like this, and I hate to ask it. I want you to tell that man in the taxi that you think you burned a letter of mine you found around yesterday.
I should lie for you.
I said you wouldn't like it.
You left the letter I found yesterday, and I burned it.
And remember, it was in a yellow envelope.
In yellow envelope.
You didn't read any of it, naturally.
This much at least is true.
He knows you don't like communists, so it'll look all right if you're unfriendly to him.
Ma? Ma?
Oh, that's Tip.
Hello, Ma. Who's that in the taxi outside?
Hello, Tip. How have you been?
Who's the guy in the taxi, Mom?
I said, hello, Tip.
One of your crummy friends?
He wants to talk to Mom.
Mom doesn't want to talk to him.
Yes, Tippy.
Why?
To keep out of this, Tip.
Why should I?
Just keep out. Will you keep out of it? You don't know what's going on, so keep out.
I don't know what's going on.
No.
Oh, boy, I don't know what's going on.
I'll call Simon in.
Stay where you are, Matt.
Tippy, he's your brother. He's in trouble.
If he's in trouble with his chums, he asked for it. If he's in bad with the cops or the FBI, let his chums get him out of it. Huh, Matt? Simple? Elementary, wise guy?
Tip. He's your brother.
He's not my brother while he's their comrade.
Look, Tip, we've had this out before.
Comrade.
I'm in a jam, all right. I want out of it, and I won't bother you again. Just this once, and I won't disgrace you anymore.
Get out.
Tip, he's older than you, and in the old country...
In the old country, this is the new country. This is the country some of my buddies got hurt and killed for, and this here... This...
What's it, Tip? What's it?
Boy... Boy,
don't you have to start something every time, don't you?
You're lucky the rest of the family's at work.
You know Mom isn't well, and you start something.
Mom isn't well? Oh, brother.
Please.
You're the one to holler Mom isn't well. Why isn't she well? No, that's a beauty, all right. You're the one to talk.
No, Tip. I'm all through talking.
Mom isn't well. Sure she isn't well.
Oh.
Sure, you're killing
Please.
Her. Now get out! Get out before I hurt you.
That's fine, Tip.
Go on.
All right, Tip. I wouldn't want my kid brother to hurt me. All right. Goodbye, Mom.
If that's your comrade, tell him we aren't having any.
All right, hothead. You're the big man today.
Matty, tell your friend to come in.
Thanks, Mom.
You'll excuse me, won't you, comrade?
He looks swell in that Navy uniform, doesn't he?
Matty, answer the door.
Mom tells Comrade Horvath her simple fiction so convincingly that I almost believe it. He seems satisfied, but he isn't Revchenko. On the way back to headquarters, the taxi stops for a light. A newsboy waves a paper at us through the window. I don't hear the kid, I just see the headline. The words rush out at me in type that gets bigger and blacker and louder until it explodes right in my face. Simple words that could be my obituary. FBI seizes Red Atom saboteurs.
Holy, where did they get that?
Yeah, I wonder.
You still insist that the letter was burned, Comrade Savetic?
That's what I say, Comrade Revchenko. And that's what my mother told Comrade Horvath.
Sure. She said it, and it sounds good. I wasn't at the cremation, however.
How do you account for the story in the newspapers, Comrade Savetic?
I don't know.
You don't know?
We have leaks in the organization.
He doesn't know, Comrade Horvath.
Huh?
Yes, Comrade Savetic, we have leaks in the organization.
We try to plug them the best way we can.
Copies of this letter with the three of us. Why aren't you grilling the other two?
One at a time, Comrade. And one thing at a time, and first things first.
Why do I rate top priority, Comrade?
The others returned their letters promptly when ordered. You did not.
They had their letters overnight. Plenty of time to inform the press or...
Or?
or the FBI.
Comrade, do you suggest that some member of your cell has turned traitor?
You're suggesting, aren't you? You're accusing me of treason, aren't you?
Has either one of us used the word treason to you?
No.
Or betrayal?
No.
Turncoat spy, has either of us cried undercover agent? FBI?
No.
Then why do you...
The implication is certainly strong enough.
It is your inference that is strong, Comrade Savetic. And it makes me wonder why. Why do you feel accused when we are merely trying to search out an information leak?
Then don't act as if you suspect me.
We don't.
No.
A little discipline, comrade. Some respect, if you please.
Respect. Sit down, comrade.
Respect. You're excited.
All right, I'm excited. I'm mad.
Nerves?
I've given years of my life to the party. I've pounded picket lines for the party and helped man your goon squads and gotten stoned and spat at for you. I've proved my loyalty to the Seventh International in every possible way. I don't have a life of my own. My life belongs to the party. I hardly have a home. Where my own mother won't have me. Where my kid brother hates me because they think I've brought shame on the family and an early grave for my mother. Yeah. I can see it on her. I can't help it, though. I believe in what I'm doing, and that's all.
Just so.
Yeah.
You're excused, Comrade Savetic.
I can go?
For the time being.
When does the decision come off on this?
Don't worry. We've been working on it while we've chatted here.
Working on it?
Excuse, tovarish.
What do you mean, working?
You may go, comrade.
I leave. I'm not kidding myself that my outburst of indignation has fooled anybody. Maybe. But I know it will hinge on the work they were doing while we chatted, whether I get disciplined or not. Call it discipline. I don't dare go to my hotel. I know I'm being watched. I've got to go to my folks' home on Stanley Avenue because that's where the comrades think I live. So I go home again. Call it home.
Marty.
Well, I had to come back, Mom.
Oh, come in some quick.
What's the matter?
Two men were here.
Who?
I don't know. They said FBI.
FBI?
Briefcases, yes.
What do they want? Tell me.
They said fine things about you, Matthew.
Well, what fine things? Tell me.
Wonderful things. You were not really a communist at all, but FBI fella.
They told you that?
You were showing them up, pretending to be one of them, risking dishonor and things. What fine thing you were doing for your country. Fine things, they said.
Don't, please. What did you say?
Say the truth. They lied. But I told them the truth. I told them you were a communist.
She told them the truth. I'm glad she didn't know the truth. And this was why the FBI had told me never to tell anybody that I was a communist for the FBI. Least of all, my own mother. Because one day two nice men with briefcases would come along and pay their respects to Mom and tell her what a fine job her son was doing for the FBI, pretending to be a commie. And Mom's heart would burst with joy and relief and pride, and she'd fall for the two smiling communist agents and their nice briefcases and FBI credentials. And her son would die in the gutter or some stinking black waterfront or just disappear. That's how it would be if Mom ever knew the truth about me.
I told them the truth. But I wish, I pray to God that they were right. But they were wrong.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Wrong, those two communists.
You knew.
Who else would say such lies to me?
I'm sorry, Mom. That's the way it is, though. Goodbye, Mom.
Marty.
Yeah?
Call me up once in a while, son.
Yeah. And that's how it is to be me. You live in shadow. You're two people, and you're nobody. Your own family cast you out. There's nobody you can turn to. That's how it is with me, but... I ask for it.
I'm a communist for the FBI. I walk alone. Our star, Dana Andrews, will return in a moment. This is Dana Andrews. Some of these stories we bring you are so strange and fantastic, it's difficult to believe that they really happened. Of course, for obvious reasons, names, dates, and localities have been changed. But our stories are based on the real-life experiences of Matt Savitic, and they did happen here. Next week, we'll go back to his file for another exciting adventure. We hope you'll join us then.
This is Cameron Mitchell with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. And here is your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood is brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present transcribed Fog Warning, starring Cameron Mitchell.
Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
Yes, it's Carnation, bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, here's Cameron Mitchell.
Hello, Art. Hello, everybody.
You know, everyone's saying what a wonderful picture Death of a Salesman is. And there's much praise for a young man by the name of Cameron Mitchell who plays the younger brother. You were in the New York Stage Company, too, weren't you, Cam?
Yes, Art. Also in the radio and television versions. You might say that I've been thoroughly indoctrinated in the role.
Well, it looks like yours is to be a movie career from now on, Cam, with that crisp new 20th Century Fox contract in your pocket. Tell me, what are some of the pictures in which you've appeared?
Well, right after the war, I appeared in Homecoming, High Barbary, and Cast Timberlane. Just recently, I finished Outcast of Poker Flat, the Bret Hart classic.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm doing Victor Hugo's Les Miserables.
Well, that takes in a wide range of roles, Cam. But then there's nothing like variety to keep up one's interest. And there's a thought in that for homemakers, too, incidentally. Just think how much more interesting life around the dinner table can be when variety is used in preparing ordinary, everyday foods. Potatoes, for example, really come to life in cream sauce made with Carnation evaporated milk. Carnation adds new flavor to many things because it's more than double-rich milk, concentrated by having water removed. So when you need milk for cooking, you simply add to Carnation an equal amount of water, and you have not only good, rich milk, but milk that's actually richer than any state standard for bottled milk. And when you need cream, just use Carnation undiluted, for Carnation, as it pours from the can, has the consistency of cream. It's heavy enough to whip. Besides, Carnation costs less than half as much as cream and a lot less than bottled milk. So, friends, why not keep your meals more interesting, more economical, with double-rich Carnation, the milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of Fog Warning, starring Cameron Mitchell as Dino Coletti. Curtain going up. Thank you.
When a blanket of fog spreads itself over the rugged Monterey coastline, fishermen usually have only two choices. If they're in the harbor, they stay in. If they're at sea, they sail as far away from the treacherous coast as they can. But Dino Coletti, skipper of the fishing boat West Wind, seems to have found a third choice. He and his partner, Mike Russo, are an hour out of Monterey with a hold full of fish when the fog closes in on them.
It's getting pretty thick, Dino. Maybe we should lay off until this afternoon and might live.
You're getting cautious in your old age, Mike. Don't you trust me?
Just like I trust my own son. But I don't trust the fog. When I hear the surf breaking on Point Joe, the wine inside of me begins to sour.
It won't be as sour as the faces of the other crews when we're first in with a day's catch.
If we get too close to Point Joe, we'll be first at the bottom of the sea with our catch.
Mike, you talk like an old woman.
Yeah, and the harbor master will talk worse than an old woman if you sail into the harbor in this soup.
I'm getting used to that, Mike. It wouldn't feel like home without Brian waiting at the dock to bawl me out. And today I've got a special reason for getting back into the harbor. I'm going to ask Susan Farrell to marry me.
Marry Susan Dino, that's a big mistake. But if you've got to have a wife, at least pick one from home.
From home? Salinas is only 19 miles from Monterey.
Yeah, but that's 19 miles on the land, Dino. It's like some other country. The people of Salinas are farm people. They don't know anything of the sea or fishing.
You know better than that, Mike. Susan and her father are both fishermen.
Oh, sure, sure. On Sundays, they rent a boat and they fish for an hour or two. That's not real fishing.
Well, I don't know what else you'd call it.
Well, laugh now if you want. You'll find out these people don't even speak the same language we do.
Susan and I speak the same language.
Well, just remember, I warn you.
Well, there you are, Mike. Right dead in the center of the harbor entrance. I told you we'd be first in with a catch.
Someday, when you don't listen to the warning signals, you're going to be sorry.
I listen to the signals inside my head, Mike. They tell me when to go ahead and when to stop. Now it's time to stop. Unload for me, will you, Mike? I'm in a hurry to get cleaned up.
Ahoy, the West Wind.
Uh-oh. The harbor master.
Here we go again.
Ahoy, the dock.
I might have known it was you, Dino.
Hiya, Mr. Bryan. What's the matter? You seem upset about something.
Well, certainly I'm upset. Who wouldn't be with you sailing into the harbor in this fog?
I didn't think it would be this thick. But everything's all right. I got in safely, Mr. Bryan.
Yes, you got in safely. But there's other boats in this harbor beside the West Wind. And it's their safety I'm concerned with. Dino, as much as I like you, you're a menace. The next time this happens, you're going to lose your license.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bryan. It won't happen again.
You've been saying that for the 3 years I've been harbor master, and you haven't changed yet. But this is your last warning, Dino. The next time you endanger the shipping in this harbor by coming in when conditions are like this, you'll find yourself without a boat.
Well, that'd be rough. You know, with the load Mike and I have in the hold, I can make the last payment on the West Wind today.
Well, that's fine, Dino. But don't forget what I said. One more time and no more license.
I'll remember, Mr. Bryan.
We'll see that you do. I have enough trouble without having to spend all my time.
He's pretty mad, Dino.
He'll get over it. He always does.
But he's never been this mad before.
Mike, you worry too much. Now, take care of everything, and I'll be back as soon as I can.
Yeah, have a good time in Salinas. I hope the signal's in his head all right.
Anybody home?
Hold your horses, young man. I'm coming as quickly as I can. Hello, Dino.
Hello, Mr. Farrell. Where's Susan?
Over at Mrs. Benton's. Our radio went out of whack, so she went over there to listen to the weather reports.
She shouldn't worry about me. I'm a better sailor in the fog than I am in fair weather.
Now, you'll have to convince her of that, lad, if you can.
I hope to convince her of that today, Mr. Farrell. With your permission, I'm going to ask Susan to marry me.
Ah, Dino, my boy, that's wonderful. But, frankly, it isn't much of a surprise. I expected it long before this.
Well, I wanted to wait until my boat was paid for, Mr. Farrell. And today, when the cannery pays me for my catch, I'll be able to make the last payment.
Good boy, Dino. And, say, now that you're almost one of the family, how about letting me in on a secret?
If I can, Mr. Farrell.
Well, Dino, you know, I've been fishing off this coast for 20 years, and I still haven't caught a really big fish. Now, you know all the places. Where can I get the biggest halibut Monterey has ever seen?
That's a pretty tall order, Mr. Farrell. I don't know where you can get the biggest halibut, but I do know where there are some pretty good sized ones.
I knew it. Where, boy? Where?
You know where Point Joe is?
Yes.
Well, about 20 yards off Point Joe, there's a sandy bottom. It's a pretty deep hole with rocks all around it. You might lose a few hooks on the rock, but Once you find it, you'll get your big fish.
Dino, you've made me the happiest man in Salinas. I'll take Susan out there next Sunday. And...
Dino, I'm so glad you're here. I've been worried all day.
Oh, about a little fog?
A little fog? I couldn't even see the tops of the mountains between here and Monterey.
Well, you won't be thinking of mountains when you hear what Dino has told me.
Oh?
I just told him where I thought he could catch a big fish.
That's not all. But I'd better go clean up my tackle. I can't wait.
Now, what have you two got up your sleeves? From the expression on your face, it's something more important than catching fish.
To me, it's the most important thing, Susan. Well...
Dino, what are you trying to say?
Susan, will you marry me?
Dino, I...
We can buy a little house near the bay and...
Oh, Dino, please.
Susan, what's the matter? I thought you loved me.
I do, Dino, I do. It's not as easy as that. Ever since we met, I've been waiting for the day when you'd ask me to marry you, but now I'm frightened.
Frightened? Of what?
Of the fog, Dino. I'm frightened for myself when I think of what might happen to you out there.
Oh, Susan, you're making something out of nothing. I'll tell you a secret about the fog. When I can't see, I use a trick my father taught me when I was a kid. I listen, and by the noise of the surf and the sound of the foghorns, I know exactly where I am.
That sounds wonderful, Dino.
Well, Susan, if you were out there with me, I could make you understand there's nothing to be frightened of.
How can you say that? Every year, fishing boats are pounded to splinters on the rocks. I've been on the docks and watched the wives waiting for men who could never come back. Can't you understand what would happen to me, Dino?
But I've tried to explain, Susan. The fog doesn't bother me, and if it did, I couldn't stop it from rolling in when I was fishing.
You don't have to go fishing, Dino.
But that's my work. That's how I live.
There's other work, less dangerous work.
Susan, do you realize what you're saying? You're asking me to give up everything I've worked for, everything I've lived for since I was... Since I was old enough to crawl around the deck of my father's boat, it's my whole life.
But it's not my life, Dino, and I don't want to make it my life. It would be easier for me not to have you at all than to have you and live in the constant fear that at any moment I might lose you.
Well, you're being childish, Susan.
And you're being stubborn and selfish.
Well, if that's the way you feel, I might as well leave.
That's the way I feel, Dino.
I guess Mike was right when he said we didn't speak the same language. Goodbye.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, Fog Warning, starring Cameron Mitchell and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here is our food and cooking expert, Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake. Well, what do you have to say for yourself, Mary?
What I have to say, Art, concerns every woman who knows the value of using sour cream or milk in making breads and cakes.
Well, Mary, I guess everybody recognizes the fact that sour milk or cream gives cakes, rolls, and cookies better flavor and texture. And yet women don't seem to take advantage of it as much as you'd think.
Art, that's because a lot of women don't know about all of Carnation Evaporated Milk's many uses.
Well, you tell us, Mary.
All right, Art. First of all, for every cup of sour milk called for in a recipe, you can have extra rich sour milk simply by using 1/2 cup Carnation, 1/2 cup water, and then adding 1 tablespoon lemon juice or vinegar.
Simple as that, hmm? Mm-hmm. Well, say, now what about sour cream?
Just use 1 cup of Carnation undiluted for each cup of sour cream called for by the recipe. And again, add 1 tablespoon lemon juice or vinegar.
Well, that tip's going to come in mighty handy when I make Sunday morning pancakes and waffles, Mary.
Tell your wife to try it in salad dressings, too, Art. It's a Carnation shortcut that's really worthwhile. Right now, I'll be running along. Bye, Art.
See you next week, Mary. Ladies, why not take Mary Blake's grand suggestion for on-hand sour milk or cream? Keep your canned goods shelf well stocked with the milk of many uses. Double rich Carnation, the milk that whips. We return now to the second act of Fog Warning, starring Cameron Mitchell in the role of Dino Coletti. Because Dino Coletti, a commercial fisherman, has refused to give up his fishing, Susan Farrell will not marry him. She thinks his work is too hazardous. For the past 2 weeks, Dino's boat, West Wind, has been tied to the dock in Monterey Harbor. And Mike Russo, Dino's partner, is worried about Dino's lack of interest.
For 2 weeks, you've been sitting here, Dino. Ain't you going to fish no more?
Sure.
Sure, I'll be going out, but I don't know when.
I thought with the West Wind paid for, we'd be going out every day. That girl, she did this to you.
Don't try to blame anything on Susan.
Okay, Dino, okay. Don't get sore. I guess when I don't work, I get kind of nervous.
You want to go to work? Why don't you sign on another boat? Any skipper in the harbor would be glad to have you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be glad to have him. We worked together too long, Dino. No, no. Well, I think I get a job on the beach. I mend nets or something.
Mend nets? I'd like to see that. When the fish started to run, you'd go crazy. You're not for the beach, Mike. You're for the sea and fishing.
And you, Dino, what are you for? Tied up here at the dock while every fishing boat in the harbor is bringing in record catches? Is that what you're for, to watch while others work?
Right, Mike, all right. Anything's better than listening to you rave. Tell you what I'll do. I'll go out and buy some new jigs while you gas her up and get her ready. We'll go out tomorrow morning.
Dino, you mean it? We're going to fish again?
If we can get her ready in time.
Oh, we get her ready. She'll be ship-shaped before you get back. Oh, solo mio. I'm from that day.
Hey, Mike.
Oh, fair, fair. What do you want?
Susan, it's on the wall. I don't want her to hear. Where's Dino?
He's not here.
Will you give him a message for me?
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Your daughter caused a lot of trouble for Dino. Now he's just beginning to feel better. I won't tell him anything to make him feel bad again.
Oh, don't worry. This will fix everything. Tell him that Susan and I are going fishing today.
Going fishing? Now, what does he care?
He'll care. Tell him I'm going to get that halibut he told me about. Tell him we're going to stay out until I get it, no matter how long it takes.
Okay, I'll tell him.
But don't forget, I'm going to get that halibut he told me about, and Susan and I are going to stay out until I get it.
Okay, okay, I tell him.
Good, good. Be sure he gets the message just the way I told it to you. And thanks.
Yeah. I never heard anyone get so excited about catching one fish before. He must be crazy in the head.
Here I am, Susan. Have you got all the tackle aboard?
It's all here. It's so late now. Do you think we should go out?
Oh, what can happen? There's not a cloud in the sky. It's a perfect day for fishing.
I've seen these perfect days before. Late in the afternoon, the fog comes in so quickly.
The fog. That's all you can think about. Now, let me get my hands on that outboard. Maybe I'll prime it again. Now, let's see. I'll try it again. Now. Here we go. Sailing, sailing over the pounding main, and many a stormy wind.
Maria Nina Samarate.
All set, Mike. Oh, yeah. All set, Dino. Plenty of gas, plenty of water. All we need now is plenty of fish.
We'll get those tomorrow. We'll fill her so full, she'll come back in like a submarine.
That's the way to talk. Now, it's just like old times.
Ahoy, West Wind.
Hiya, Mr. Bryan.
Hello, Dino. You figuring out fishing again?
Yeah, I sure am.
When do you plan on going in?
Tomorrow morning.
That's good. With the bank of fog coming in, it'll hit us in about an hour.
I can smell it. And if my nose is any judge, it'll roll in sooner than that.
Just don't get any ideas, Dino.
What do you mean?
Remember what I told you 2 weeks ago? It still holds.
I remember. The West Wind is paid for now, and I'm not going to take any chance on losing it.
I just thought I'd remind you. If you endanger the shipping in this harbor again, you can kiss the West Wind goodbye.
You don't have to worry about me, Mr. Bryan.
I hope not, Dino. I hope not.
Mr. Bryan sure can stay mad a long time, huh?
Yeah, I guess he has a right to, Mike. I've been pretty much of a fool.
But that's all over now, eh, Dino? Now we catch plenty of fishes, and everybody's happy, including Mr. Bryan.
That's the way it will be, Mike. Everybody will be happy.
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main, and many a stormy wind. Wait, 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 hold it, I've got a strike. Nope, just another false alarm.
Dad, don't you think we should go back? I don't like the feel of the weather. It's getting cold and damp.
Just a little while longer, Susan. There's a big one down there, and I am going to get him.
But, Dad, look out to sea. The whole horizon has disappeared.
Oh, that's nothing but your imagination. It'll be clear until sundown.
I hope you're right. What whatever made you come to this spot so far from the harbor? We never fished so close to Point Joe before.
Ooh, just a hunch. And if things work out, it'll be the luckiest hunch I ever had. Sailing, sailing over the mountain main.
You got a good nose, Dino. The fog came in fast today.
And it'll be thick as mud until morning.
That was Sir Farrell right. He'll have a tough time finding his way back.
Farrell? Did he go out today?
Yeah, a couple hours ago. Oh, I forgot. He gave me a message for you.
What kind of a message?
Oh, I don't know. Something about a halibut. Let me think.
Halibut?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said to tell you he and his daughter were going to stay out until he caught that halibut you told him about.
He and Susan? Is she out there with him?
No, that's what he said.
Oh, he must be crazy. If they try to come back in, they'll pile up in the rocks, and they can't stay out there all night.
Well, it's his own fault, Dino. There's nothing you can do about it now.
Well, I can go out there and get him.
Dino, you can't. Brian will see that you never fish again.
There are more important things than fishing. Now cast her off.
Are you sure the anchor's holding? The surf sounds so much closer than it did.
I hope it's holding. I can't see a thing. Are you sure you're warm enough? I can let you wear this old sweater of mine.
You keep that on and button it up around your neck. Likely to be a long time before you get that motor started. You sure there's gas in it?
It was full when we left the harbor. I don't know what could have happened to it. Well, I'll tinker with it some more. Now, I'll give it a spin. Maybe it'll turn over. No luck. I can't imagine what's wrong with it.
Try it again. I'm sure the anchor's dragging. The surf sounds so much closer.
Now, don't worry, Susan. I have a feeling that everything is going to be all right.
I certainly hope so. I don't know why I let you talk me into coming out here today. When we got such a late start, I knew the fog would come in before we could get back.
Well, that's my fault, Susan. But you'll see, it won't be long before we're safe and sound.
You really did it, Dino. You'll never be able to talk Brian out of it this time.
Oh, that doesn't matter. You think I could let Susan and her father stay out there? Well, they'd never find their way back into the harbor in this soup. And if they stay there, the swells would drift them onto the rocks of Point Joe. No anchor would hold them. Why didn't they come back in when the fog started to settle?
Well, the old man said he was going to stay out until he caught that fish.
Even if he knows better than to stay out until that fog is so thick that... Wait a minute. Listen.
I don't hear them.
Hold it quiet. We're almost off the point. I'm going to run by at once. If they hear our motor, they'll call out.
Dino, don't take any chances. If you run around a rock, the bottom will rip out of it just like a wet paper bag.
It's a risk I'll have to take. Now, don't talk. I got to be able to hear the surf.
Hear anything?
Oh, not a thing. I'll have to try again.
Dino, be careful. Please be careful.
Quiet. Hear anything?
I don't know. I can't be sure.
Dino!
There.
Dino! Mr. Farrell! Susan! Susan! We're coming! Susan! Susan!
Dino! Oh, Dino!
Don't come in any closer, Dino! Let me come out to you!
Okay. Show us
the rest of the way home.
Give me a hand, Susan. Careful now. Oh, there you are. Safe aboard.
Oh, Dino, how did you ever find us?
Oh, it was easy. Remember the trick I told you about?
It wasn't so easy. If your dad hadn't been able to start that motor, we all might have gone under rocks.
Well, how did you finally get it started, Dad?
Oh, I just turned on the ignition.
Dad.
Well, I had to do something so you two would find each other.
Now that I've found you,
I'll never let you go again.
Oh, Dino.
Mike, you better take the wheel. Dino can't steer with both arms around my daughter. So you see, Mr. Bryan, it was all my fault. If I hadn't meddled in my daughter's affairs, this wouldn't have happened.
I understand all that, but I still have my duty to perform.
I can promise you, Mr. Bryan, that Dina will never do anything foolish again. And perhaps I have more influence over him than you have.
I think you have, young lady. Dina, your license is hereby suspended for 1 month from this date, provided that you spend that month on your honeymoon.
Is that a deal, Dina?
Darling, I'll tell you what. I've thought it over, and I'm going to sell the West Wind.
Oh, no, you don't. If you sell the West Wind, where will we spend our honeymoon?
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of Fog Warning. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show is presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Cameron Mitchell. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Cameron Mitchell?
Right here, Art.
Nice going, Cam. You're batting 1,000, as usual.
Well, that's a compliment that means more to me than you think, Art.
Oh, I've heard all about your semi-pro baseball career, Cam, and frankly, I envy you. That's the sort of background any father would like to be able to tell his son about.
Sons, Art. I have three, you know.
Three boys? Well, that takes care of the outfield.
Sure does. The youngest isn't quite so active yet. He's only 2 months old.
Right at the carnation stage, eh?
That's right.
Well, don't you worry. He'll be the most active kid in the block. Carnation evaporated milk will see to that. It's so full of bodybuilding milk minerals, plus important vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin. And while your boy is still in the baby stage, Cam, there's so much comfort in knowing Carnation is safe. Doubly safe, really, because Carnation is not only pasteurized, it's sterilized after the can is sealed. Yes, and heat-refined Carnation digests ever so easily in babies' delicate systems. So you can see why 8 out of 10 mothers who use Carnation say their doctor recommended it. Carnation is the milk every doctor knows. And as every listener knows, your performance today was great, Cam. We want you to take home this bouquet to your wife, a worthy Carnation mother. These red and white carnations are just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Thanks very much, Art. Now, how about telling me what's on for next week?
Well, next Saturday, we're going to have as our star of the day, Miss Deborah Padgett, one of the loveliest and most talented young stars in Hollywood.
You can say that again, Art. Miss Padgett is the young lady I fall in love with in my current picture. What's the story about?
Well, it's about the beauty in the brain, and that's the title, Beauty in the Brain. And to make the story even more intriguing, it takes place in Hollywood.
Now I'm even more than interested. I'll be certain to tune in next Saturday to find out how Deborah Padgett makes out. But now it's goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Cameron Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Studios, whose current release is the Technicolor production Red Skies of Montana. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by Frank Edmonds. Supporting Mr. Mitchell were Jay Novello, Janet Warren, John Brown, and Ed Max. The program was transcribed and directed by Hans Conried. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, 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 for milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, 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 for milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to listen next Saturday for Deborah Padgett in Beauty and the Brain. And be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show for Carnation Evaporated Milk. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to visit the website, relicradio.com, for thousands of other old-time radio episodes, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else we have going on. You can donate through the website as well if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how this is all made possible, how it keeps coming to you every week. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.